Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it's the start of a very important week because this is the Wyndham Championship. It starts today, Thursday. It's August the 16th, and while normally you might say the Wyndham Championship is certainly not a major, it is a major as far as a lot of golfers are concerned who are on the bubble, and we'll be talking about a lot of those guys today, which is what the Wyndham is all about, actually, and has been for the last few years. Those guys trying to get into the top 125 to play next week at the Northern Trust and get into the FedEx Cup playoffs. So it's a man versus man, dog eat dog world out there at Greensboro, North Carolina for the Wyndham Championship. A lot on the line for those guys that are in that 125 range that are trying to move up. Four guys last year actually moved into the top 125 thanks to the Wyndham Championship. So we'll talk about that. We have Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, to join us here shortly to talk about that and, oh, so many other things that are going on in Washington and the world as we know it. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
I'm sad today, man. My security clearance has been revoked.
Sad?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You too? Wow.
Yeah.
We're all going down. We're all going down like
flies.
Oh,
my goodness. I just don't pay any attention to that stuff. I watch the Golf Channel. I listen to PGA Tour Radio. I listen to the team. I got to tell you, before our good friend and the host of PGA Tour Play-by-Play and PGA Tour Radio comes in, Earl Forsey, listening, and Tim, you say this. You give me your opinion. Listening to the past coverages, nothing against all of our friends, McGinnis and Katrick and all those guys, it wasn't the same. I even asked my wife, I said, what do you think about this coverage the past few times when Earl Forsey and the team hasn't really been together and on? She said, It's not as exciting. Earl really does make the show. I mean, he truly, truly does.
Wow.
And I just...
And you're not just saying that because he's listening right now.
No, it's the truth. He really does. I've always said that.
I agree.
His excitement, his knowledge, his ability to maneuver through situations happening on the golf course. I even saw him one time before we bring him in at the Players 2 years ago, ready to go on the air live on a Thursday in the tent out by 18, and the power goes off. Because they had wired the power to the SiriusXM PGA Tour radio tent along with the generator that ran the portablets next door. And every time somebody went into the portablet and the air conditioning kicked on, it kicked the power off. And Earl just reacted perfectly, folded up his folders, ran into the media center, and started the show. So, you know, he's the best.
I thought you said he was going to do... He did the rest of the show from the Port-a-Johns.
Well, that too. But
he's been
the best.
A lot of places.
Yeah, man.
He's been a lot of places. You can hear him. He's getting ready for us. There's Earl Forsey. He's joined us now. And Earl, thanks first for being with us. We appreciate it. Frank's check is obviously in the mail, so you'll be getting that very shortly for all the wonderful things he had to say. But, you know, when he was talking about the politics in Washington, and, of course, you've been in D.C. forever and ever, and it's all about sports, do you ever get into any of that? Does that, because it's right down the street, it's all in your local area where you're talking about what's going on with Trump or Obama before and all this other stuff? Or do you just get into the oasis of sports and not worry about that?
Stick to sports. I found that the best way. Publicly, professionally, just stick to sports. It's the best way to go about things.
It's game night. Okay. It's game night in D.C., right?
You can't escape it around here, obviously. I mean, you know, I, like you said, I'm immune to everything that goes on as far as that goes, because you're just used to it being around the city and it's the way it is. But no, if you follow me on Twitter and everything, you know, I just stick to sports. That's the way to go. That's what I do. That's what I know. And that's where I stay.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. You'll be doing the studio work with Paul Stankowski week for the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina. And as I said, at the very beginning, a tournament that normally would maybe fall into the category of a normal PGA Tour event from week to week, nothing would stand out except for the fact of where it comes. it makes it pretty dramatic. And so the emphasis, while the names may not be as big a names as what we saw last week at the PGA Championship, very, very important week for a lot of these golfers.
Well, it is, and then the next month. So thanks for having me back on, guys. It's been a while. Yeah, this is, and, you know, I talk about it, and I have leading up to this, you know, the last few weeks as the season heads toward the playoffs, and I bring it up, and I will again this week, because we sit there and talk a lot of the season. We always are given where guys stand at FedEx Cup points and how important this win was, et cetera. And, you know, I talk about, well, there's only 10 events left or 5 events left. It seems like sometimes, maybe, you know, you hear it over and over, but it's true. I mean, these things wind down pretty quickly. And I always bring up, once we get to really, you know, around, now I know schedule is going to change, but this current schedule, once we get around to, like, after the Masters and getting into the Players' Championship, time is kind of short. I mean, because it's not like other sports where you play every week and that type of thing, you know. So, you know, when you have 20 events left, maybe a guy only has 10 events left, maybe only 8 events left. And we get to the point here late in the season where there was a couple of majors pretty close, a World Golf Championships event. I mean, really, we were about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, and I was pointing out that, you know, for guys then that weren't in maybe the majors or weren't going to get into World Golf Championships event, that, you know, maybe they had a couple of starts left, you know, with really like a month, 5 weeks to go. So that's, we're here now, you know, so that I always point that out, that, you know, it's like hearing things from your mom and dad when you say, oh, yeah, you know, you keep hearing the things, but they're right. I mean, and that's why I always pointed out, because, you know, now we are late in the season, but it gets there pretty quickly. And, you know, another season is almost completely through now. And you're right, with this week, it's like any other sport. If you're not in the playoffs yet, it's not a sport where you need to win to get in, but for some, they need pretty, you know, some players may need to this week, and certainly a lot of other ones have to play awfully well to kind of survive in advance, and that's where we are right now. So, yeah, this is, while it's not a playoff event, it is like one, because, you know, a lot of guys have to get it done this week to even advance, to even get there. So for many, it is kind of a de facto playoff week for them.
And you also have to keep an eye on almost two scoreboards at the same time, Earl, yep. Which is not only what's going on the leaderboard, who's going to win the tournament, who's in fifth, who's doing all the other things on the course itself right there at Greensboro, but, of course, you got the FedEx Cup point standings and who's going up and who's going down. As a matter of fact, as we speak, and the guys have only been off for a couple of hours so far in the first round of the Wyndham Championship, Cameron Percy is in 170th spot, obviously a guy trying, yep, to get in the top 125. Well, he's already 4 under. So right now he's projected at 125, and that is a moving target that you've got to, I mean, it's got to drive you crazy trying to keep up with every putt, every birdie, made or missed. A guy drops 4 points, goes down 10 spots. That's got to keep you, your mind, I mean, if you're not alert all the time anyway, you've really got to be going crazy trying to keep up with almost two parallel scoreboards.
There's a lot going on, and it's fun for, yeah, me, because it gives me something else, you know, to watch. So it is. There's this, you know, there's the game within the game this week, the story within the story, and that's certainly it. The tournament and then the top 125 bubble. And we've been doing this a while now. What is it, 12, you know, full years of FedEx Cup playoffs we're heading into. So I've gotten used to it, and that's a lot of fun, because it is – there was a point, and I brought this up, couple of weeks ago, and I'm trying to think where it was. It may have been, it was at, I guess it was at the Bridgestone Invitational, when Dustin Johnson's coming off a win and he, you know, pushed the FedEx Cup points lead to wherever it was. And Justin Thomas was the only one that had a chance to catch him, and he had a win, and DJ had to finish outside the top 22 or something like that. Anyway, but, you know, DJ was kind of struggling there midway through the tournament. And after Friday, and Justin Thomas was in the share of the leader and got in the lead by himself at that point. But I looked and I made mention of the fact, because I'm always looking at FedEx, and, you know, we always have those points. They were tied for the lead in FedEx Cup points. And I kind of brought that up just as like a little, you know, little kicker, a little preview of what we're going to have, because that happens all the time, you know, where they were standing. It is crazy. We get the live, you know, projected points. I'm fortunate the way they set things up. For those that listen, I'm able to see what would happen to a player if he makes a birdie or makes a bogey or double bogey or an eagle. We kind of have an idea of projections, what would happen if this guy did that and moved to where he would move to, where would it put him? So that's why a lot of times we can say if he makes a birdie, he's going to move up, you know, to 124 in FedEx Cup points or something like that. Yeah. So that's where those numbers come from. They're real projected numbers. What that doesn't tell you, the one thing you don't have, and it's just because, you know, it would be impossible to come up with every scenario in the world. But what you don't know, the effect, and this is where it does get tricky, because it's not just what a player does, it's what the other guys are doing to move out of, say, if a guy who needs a certain amount of points is in a tie for 11th, and one of those guys tied for 11th makes a birdie, so it pushes them down to tie for, you know, that's what you don't know. And those, look, we see every year how much, you know, these things are separated by many times a point or a few points. So that's, you know, a couple of places, one or two places, or a couple of extra guys moving into a tie. So that's where sometimes things change, and it's kind of, it doesn't catch you by surprise. You know it's going to happen, but that's where a number we may give, and then all of a sudden, a couple of minutes later, it changes. That's what happens. Guys are moving in and out of ties and changing how many points are going to the player that you're actually looking at to project, and it's confusing. But, yeah, it's fun because it – I mean, it just adds an element to the broadcast, and it is, I mean, starting this week, and we do it all the time. If you listen, we're always updating points and that type of thing. But, you know, the next month we'll be, you know, doing that as much as the leaderboard, and, you know, toward the end of the playoffs, you get into the Tour Championship, and both of those go hand in hand. It's not just the leaderboard. It's that final, you know, FedEx Cup point standings, which is the second leaderboard. And that's kind of what we're dealing with a couple weeks. That's why I'm there to try to keep track of it.
Well, I want to switch gears for just a second because I think it's game night. Now, are the Jets in D.C., Earl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will be done with when I'm done with the broadcast and the little wrap-up we have to do and everything. My immediate plans are made for the night. 8 p.m. kickoff. Thankfully, this is a national Redskins and Jets tonight. So yes. It's preseason week two, and it gets underway tonight.
ESPN.
And, yeah, because it's a national game, you know, those preseason games kick a lot at 7:30. So because it's a national game, it's an 8 o'clock kick. So it buys me an extra half hour. So I want to thank them for covering the game tonight. And their bye week is week four. So their bye week is Ryder Cup weekend. So,
well, Frank, I don't know if you've been keeping up with enough of this stuff, but Earl is also, if you want to go down this road, not only are they facing Sam Darnold tonight, so it'd be interesting to see what the Jets rookie does against the Redskins, but the Redskins, Frank, if you haven't been keeping up, have a MASH unit going right about now. It's
already,
not been a good training camp already for the
so
Redskins
this
and group.
Doing this weekend.
So okay, more I, reason I'm, for depression.
But, you know, Frank was talking about, and I appreciate the kind words from him. But
I mean him.
Even though I was not doing golf coverage last week, that I was doing DC coverage. So I'm on the air all week. I was on the air 6 days last week doing, and it was a big week. It's the first week of preseason. I mean, that's a big story around here. Obviously, the baseball team is just, you know, been flushed.
Tanking.
At this point. Yeah. So no one, you know, that's pretty much done. And thank goodness for football. But last week we had that preseason game, and everybody's kind of excited. I mean, there's a new quarterback, and they've drafted well. And the kid from LSU comes in, Darius Geis, pretty good running back. And, you know, I want to talk about Saquon Barkley, but Darius Geis was a guy that was, until some injuries last year, thought of just as highly, you know, almost as Saquon Barkley. So they get him a steal in the second round. It's going to change the offense. Six carries into the game, he injures himself. In essence, he tries a nice run. It was like a 34-yard run. It got called back because of holding, so it wasn't official. They're playing New England. But at the end of the run, he tries to, like, twirl and makes a bad step, and they take him off the field. So I'm on the air at that point. I'm not doing the show yet because last week we do pre- and post-game for a preseason game. So I was doing the preseason post-game last week. And I'm in there, and I just, you know, my heart sunk. I mean, so Darius Geis is out for the year. I mean, everybody knows that. He tore his ACL. I mean, it's just innocent thing. It was like what Edelman did last year when he kind of just tried to make the cut and went down. Very similar. So it was non-contact. It happened to Jordy Nelson a few years ago in Green Bay when it caught a pass in the preseason game, tried to make a cut. So basically what we did this weekend was like we did with the Caps when we went all Caps that whole weekend. when they won the Stanley Cup title. This weekend in D.C., pretty much our whole weekend was, how does this injury impact the Redskins? I mean, it was crazy. It's just, I got a sick feeling when because we went off the air. I went off the air midnight on Thursday night. And I was worried about it. I mean, anytime a guy, and especially they had 20-some guys on injured reserve at the end of last year. I think it was 22 or 23.
Good Lord.
Basically, an entire roster of guys. I mean, that's how bad it was last year. So it's starting up again. And, you know, the panics turned to, well, it's probably not too bad. And really, the Redskins post-game and all this stuff, everything we're hearing, you know, he was hurt. But, you know, it's not that big a deal. They kind of thought they dodged a bullet on that. So that's how it ended. And then, you know, the next day you start seeing, you know, some of the tweets, which weren't as bad from some of the NFL insiders. And then the bomb drops and it's like torn ACL out for the year. And literally, you know, and I explained this and I talk about it when I'm on the air here. It's great that I get to cover sports in D.C., specifically the Redskins. Man, I grew up here and I watched sports. This is where I became a sports fan. But, and, you know, sports is good because I don't have to always be the objective journalist. I'm very upfront. I pull for the Redskins. I root for them. I've covered them. And it's great to me. I still have an emotional fan attachment to the Redskins on top of trying to cover them and, you know, be honest about it. And I am, you know, sometimes too honest, I think, when you're that close.
For the most part.
But I you know how much I care about football and Redskins. I literally, my stomach was upset when I saw that news. I was you know, really ill. It wasn't, you know, it was like somebody just punched me in the gut. It's like, are you kidding me? That's the way it's going to start. So, yeah, I was very busy last week and mainly just talking about a guy who's never played in the NFL, in essence, a rookie who, and we were just talking about it really all weekend. And then, you know, we have all this other stuff happening in D.C., which is the collapse of the Nationals. Just a disaster. Just a dumpster fire. And that's the sports
thing.
And then this whole horrendous, you know, I'm a University of Maryland guy. I went there. And then this whole, you know, tragic death of this, you know, kid, 19-year-old football player.
Yes.
And which, you know, the initial story was horrible. And then this ESPN report, this investigation comes out about all the issues over there and the football program. And, you know, my first story, I've been doing this a while. When I was still in school there, I mean, I went there in the early 80s. So I was there with Len Bias, Lefty Driesell. I mean, it was basketball school. It always has been, really. But, you know, and there in the mid 80s when Bobby Ross took over the team and they were really, really good. They were a preseason number one team in the mid 80s, 85 or 86, I think. But my first big story I ever covered in sports was the tragic death of Len Bias.
I remember that.
So, you know, I was able to kind of speak on that because that was, you know, that set the basketball team there and the basketball program and Maryland Athletics. That's that whole tragic, awful thing that happened set them back. It almost was a death penalty. It was as close as you can get without really getting it. It took them 2 decades to recover from that, you know, athletically and just. And in some ways, maybe they never have recovered even from the passing of Lenny Bias. And this thing happens, which is a totally different thing. And, you know, sports related, football related. And, you know, if you believe the stories and no one knows for sure, but the initial reports that it was a negligence issue with the coaching staff and all kinds of problems. So it's happening again. My point is this weekend. Yeah. So I did a lot of that. That's all I was talking about this weekend. We have major stories, you know, DC based stories, but obviously it's a national story too. That one. So it's been a crazy week. And it's why I do and we do what we do because of stuff like that. So all this really started happening Friday night when I'm on the air. You know, that Maryland story broke Friday evening. And then we're on the air, and oh my God, you know, a quarter into the game, the guy that, you know, their savior, their rookie, he's gone. And it's just, it makes your head hurt. It really does.
Bad,
but I'm still.
Bad weekend at the Forsey home.
It was just a busy weekend here. So I'm kind of back to doing what I do here, you know, with golf. We got this playoff push coming up.
And Ricky,
that's gonna be a lot of fun and crazy too. I mean, these weeks fly by. You know, I mentioned the season flying by. These weeks are gonna fly by. It's gonna
quickly.
Clinton and I, we're gonna be talking about Atlanta and the finale.
Well, and speaking of injured reserve, Ricky Fowler with a torn, a partial tear of his oblique. So, which is, you know, the core muscles. So, oh boy. Yeah. But he's saying in his tweets, Earl, that he's gonna be okay. Yeah. For sure he'll be in the Ryder Cup. What does this mean for the rest of his season? I mean, he's going to be out for the first event, the first playoff event, for sure.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I guess at that point, it's more pain management than actual is it affecting you. But obviously, if it's a pain deal, I don't know. That would just be speculation. But
Well, that sort of explains a little bit about his play last week, doesn't it?
I can't imagine that it doesn't affect the play. I mean, I think it obviously does. That it's going to get better taking a week off is not probably going to happen. It's something he's going to have to play through this, you know, to take part in the playoffs and the FedEx Cup playoffs and then the Ryder Cup. He's going to have to play through it, and that's not always the best thing. You know, we've seen it before. It would probably take more than just a week, you know, to get by that. But yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. But maybe it does, you know, explain some of the stuff with him this year. You know, yeah. I'm sure that didn't come about.
No.
Yeah, he's at number 17 in the FedEx Cup, so he can rest for a little bit, like Tiger's doing, until the BMW. Again, we're talking with Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio. So Ricky's not in a hurry to get back if he didn't need to, he could rest a little bit.
Yeah, which is what. You know, and as we've gone on and the guys have gotten used to this FedEx Cup point setup and everything else, they kind of know where to pick and choose spots. And yeah, because it's all about being inside the top 30, you know, and if you're, you know, in a solid spot there, you can afford maybe a week. But, you know, those points, you know, everything changes when they get to the playoffs, and then the points ramp up. So those spots that you have change pretty quickly the first week. I mean, and that's the thing, the volatility, a lot of it is the first week and maybe the second week, and then things kind of settle in after that. But that's this is all going to change next year too. There's only going to be three playoff events.
Right.
So just as everybody, and still not sure how that's going to work and everything, but guys have gotten used to this now, and they talk to us all the time about FedEx Cup points, you know, guys coming off the course and where they stand, especially this time of year. I know I got to get it done. And, you know, we go back to Francesco Molinari when he won in D.C. The reason he played in D.C. and not the tournament he normally goes overseas and plays at home, because he was FedEx Cup related. He said, I was, you know, too far back. I needed some FedEx Cup points. And he goes on that roll and wins a tournament in that major.
Well, I can tell you.
And that's it's the big story.
I can tell you, backing up, I was up at Belrive. And the crowds there were the most massive crowds I've ever seen in the many years I've been at PGA Tour events or majors, for if you will. Eastlake is basically about as small, not it's a little larger as far as square footage than Belrive, but Tiger Woods at Eastlake in Atlanta for the Tour Championship this year, it will be bedlam. It will be total bedlam there in Atlanta if he's, you know, doing anything at all. It's going to be crazy.
And he's got a lot of momentum, doesn't he?
All he does.
Yeah, and now he's got a champion. Who'd have thought that really going into the year? And I know he's still looking to win again, but, man, that's that's one heck of a way to kind of just add another layer to the storylines that are already there. No doubt. But, yeah, you're right. Those crowds were crazy.
Oh, my gosh. You couldn't even get around the course. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm curious. Do you think Brooks Koepka is now considered an elite golfer? And it's taken almost a couple of years of him winning and pretty much dominating the majors in the last couple of years.
Three majors.
And even when he was winning the PGA Championship, Tiger was still getting most of the attention. And so quietly he's done it. But do you think people within golf and certainly outside of golf that are just even casual fans now – consider him an elite golfer in the world?
When you win two of the four majors, when you win half of them, I mean, not many guys do that, except for some names, you know, we're just talking about. Elite, boy, that sounds like a sports radio topic, you know. Is Joe Flacco elite? Everybody can't be elite. You know, I used to work for one of the anchors. And at Westwood One rating. I'll tell you who it was. It was the great Tony Roberts, the voice of Notre Dame football, just, you know, sure, an icon in D.C. And Tony was great. But, you know, the word great, he had pet peeves. One of them was great. The word great. He used to tell me, everybody can't be great. You know, that was one of his things. But he was right. He's like, everybody, you know, this guy's great. That's, well, if everybody's great, everybody can't be great. So I think that's the thing with elite. You know, everybody can't be elite, but, you know, at least for this season, certainly the second half of the season, when you win two majors,
yep.
And I know it's only, you know, it's still four wins total, but yeah, when you do that, you're
three of your four majors, three of your four wins.
You're in the conversation. And if you're in the conversation, I mean, that, I remember you talk PGA. I remember, and I don't know why it sticks out, but I remember at Oak Hill when Duffner won at Oak Hill, right? It was Rochester. I you know, these things run together. Brooks Koepka, that was kind of his first. He was playing in Europe and everything. And I remember, you know, Tiger, obviously, is always a big story. And he was paired with Tiger.
Yes.
I remember that weekend or something like that, and held his own, played pretty well. And it was just like, you know, and we're still trying to figure out how to pronounce his name at that point. Is it Koepka? It's Koepka. But, yeah, you know, it was, I don't know why that stands out. It was like, that was kind of his, you know, he didn't, the point was he didn't kind of, you know, shrivel from the moment there. And but we see guys now kind of respond to it when they're playing with Tiger and they kind of amp up their game. But I just remember back to then, that was kind of his, you know, his first little bit of spotlight and, you know, playing with Tiger that weekend and that week and played a lot with him. And, you know, look where it is now. He's he held him off to win another major.
There were a lot of people that after the end of the PGA Championship on Sunday that were talking amongst themselves about, why did he put out? Why did he put out? What is he doing? This is nuts. He addressed it. I don't think a lot of our listeners might have heard it, but he addressed it this way. He said, Adam had a putt where my mark would have been in his eyesight, and he needed to make that putt, so I elected to get out of his way. How classy is that? To forego the moment of a major victory cheer to get out of one of his idols. And he says Adam Scott and Tiger Woods were two of his idols. Right. And he just smoked them both. God, incredible, incredible play by Brooks Koepka.
I will admit, I would not have been worried about the guy's eyesight, the line through the ball after the cup. I would have waited. I mean, it was me. I mean, it was nice of him to do it and everything like that. I think it was minimal. If a guy can't putt,
it's good for
because
him.
There's a quarter, 2 feet on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, but that shows his thought process. He's not the rah-rah scream, huge fist pump.
I think he just wanted to get it done. I think he was doing tap in, and he was like, let me just tap
well,
this in.
Let me be honest with you guys. If I had a girlfriend standing there waiting for me that looked like his girlfriend, I'd have wanted to get off the golf course, too, and giving her a hug and a kiss.
Well, good gracious. That's another reason.
Woo.
Where guys like that are so different from me, because I'm, you know, and they are. They're all like that. They're classy, and they're thinking of the moment, the sportsmanship and everything. See, I'm just not that kind of guy.
I'll be honest.
And that's why I could never do that, because, and it's just, I guess, the business I'm in, but usually it's usually all about me, and I like to make it that way and emphasize that. more power to them, because, and I always say this, they're better human beings than I am. Better sportsmen than I am, because I know, and I'm very honest about it, and unapologetically, I would not be like that.
Some would say I founded that club, Earl, but and we know who those
which
some
is
are.
Why that's so. Which is why that's never been a game for me. I mean, I just could never be like that. I could never.
It wouldn't have occurred to me either.
It would be hard for me to handle myself with such class and decorum, because I usually don't.
Well, I certainly want to clarify something I said a moment ago. In these days and times, she was a beautiful young woman, very, very attractive, and that was an observation. That's all it was, and my thoughts and comments are those of my own only. Thank you. There
you go. Let's clarify that one. Before we let you go, I want to go in another left field turn here for you, and talking about what a classy guy that you are. Speaking of classy, and I want your viewpoint, because you said already baseball, we talked a little bit about that. No sense to talk about the Nationals, lost four in a row, they're gone. But what happened last night? involves a bitter pill for me, and that is the Ronald Acuna play last night, Braves and the Marlins, and Jose Urania hits him. And Frank, and for listeners don't know, Acuna came into the game with three straight games with leadoff home runs, right? Pretty exclusive, pretty cool thing. He was going for his fourth in a row. He leads off the game, and the first pitch gets hit, and bench is clear, and all that kind of stuff happens. Some announcers, Keith Hernandez of the Mets even said, hey, he hit home runs in three straight games. You got to hit him with a pitch, which is old school and dumb, and I don't agree with
it
at all.
Isn't.
I'm curious what Earl thinks about that, because you can end a guy's career. You can certainly end a few weeks with it if you hit him in the wrong place, Aaron Judge. So what do you think about what happened there, Earl?
I defer to the guys that play baseball, because most of them will tell you that exactly what Keith Hernandez said. And look, it's a day and age where things have changed, and you can't tackle in the NFL anymore. That's illegal now. But
there are no bounties.
You're asking the wrong guy, because and now here's one thing with baseball, and I'm not as much of a baseball purist, where baseball has a lot of weird little rules,
way too many.
And just the way things are done. And I know everybody's got change, and things in sports, you have no choice anymore. I am kind of an old school guy. I know what you're saying about throwing at a guy. Okay. And you're right. And there've been too many injuries, and you can't throw, but Hernandez was quick to point out, you don't throw to his head. You don't.
Okay.
If Bob Gibson's on, I know we're going old school. If Bob Gibson was on the mound, a guy like that, Nolan
my
Ryan,
boy,
someone
my man.
Like that. So I understand that why people are upset about it. I think there's always a middle ground, because the one extreme side's not right, and the other extreme side is not right. It's in my opinion, I can see where that, a little bit of a message would come from. Are there other avenues to take? Is it the best sportsmanship? No, it's not. But, when did we ever say sportsmanship was number one? And I know it's other sports. Look, I know, and I got to put myself back when we're talking golf and stuff, because that's a different deal. But in these other sports, a little gamesmanship is fine, too.
It never goes both ways. If a pitcher strikes out seven guys in a row, what's the payback to the pitcher?
There's not.
Does he get penalized for playing so well
just
and everything?
Hitting the baseball. That's yeah. Them's the breaks of the game.
So strike me out. Strike me out if you want. If you want to do something, strike. Don't hit me. That's
understand.
To me saying you can't strike me out.
Hey, look, we've had the situation with Harper before in this town, where that's happened. And it lights up sports radio and phone lines for a day or two, and it doesn't go away. I can see where that the old school thought of that's just the way you got to do it, and you got to take brush them back off the plate. Look, it's maybe not the approach you can take anymore. You should take anymore, but. They've been doing it for 100 and some years. And I know that's not the excuse for it or anything else. Yeah, things change, but you're right. But the kid was killing him, Acuna, and they decided to
take him out
to kill him.
and if it were my kid, I wouldn't want that to happen. My kid played a lot of baseball growing up, so I know all these things are just. And being a sports guy, some of them, right? Even I shake my head at. That's one, and it's a gray area, if I had to lean one way or the other, I'm always going to lean on a side of, things. Some things happen in sports that don't happen everywhere else, and that's not an excuse to do things. And somebody gets hurt, really hurt, and then you're in trouble, and you can't have that either. But the baseball, the bench is clearing, everybody comes out and, taps each other in the shoulder. Those things and will at some point get settled, but that's going to be a lingering, those things linger. The Mets and the Nats for the last few years had things, and it would go from one season to another. Well, this one's payback for last season. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I mean, 2014. So
That's the thing. And, you know, that's a little much when you start, you know, paying someone back for something that happened at the end of 2015. But yeah, it's just, I mean, you're asking me to say, you know, that's not the way it should be done. I'm just not ready to do that. It's part of the,
part of
the game.
It's part of that game, certainly. And
well, rattling the change in your pocket while your competitor is putting, a la Seve Ballesteros, is part of the game also. So,
a la Tim Matthews.
You do that too, don't you, Tim? You sneeze and cough and everything else. I know.
I need 15 ball marks, you know, in my pocket. That's where they're all jingling.
Look, every sport has those things that I shake.
Sure.
Everyone.
Doesn't make them right, but everybody has them. Yeah.
It doesn't. And there, if you want to toss a guy for doing that, then he gets tossed. I mean, it's
yeah, but that's water under the bridge. You know, once he's hit the guy and he's laying on the ground, okay, we're going to toss. Well, too late now.
I understand. I fully understand.
And the fine, by the way, for getting ejected in baseball is minimal. If you start fining these guys and say, okay, it's going to hit you for $5,000 or $20,000, something that's significant, I think the fine in baseball, because the union is so strong, I think it's like $100. Yeah, probably, like they care that they're going
to most of
that
these
they're
fines
get fined
don't
$100
to the players with the money they're making. Yeah, it was a strange thing, and obviously that was lighting up Twitter last night. And I saw, you know, multiple times I saw what happened there. But you know, quite honestly, the selfish answer is not my team I'm rooting for. So let him have it.
I knew that was coming. Hey, listen,
that's just the way, you know.
Earl, try to keep Stanky in check today when he's doing the analyst role.
Yeah, good. Good
I know
luck
you guys
with that.
Will have fun.
Yeah.
Our good buddy.
We always do, and
Stanky's great.
He'll guarantee you one thing: he will leave the math to me.
Yes, I was going to say. Yes,
he didn't
go
that.
To UTEP for no reason.
I'm just kidding, but
math is not his forte. The volumes of research that he'll have in front of him.
College graduate, yes.
Stanko kind of like concentrates on the golf, and I'll start talking about some of these numbers sometimes, and he'll just look at me. Like, the glaze.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Glad you're doing
it. Yeah, glazed over. Know. Yeah.
Right.
Like you're Stephen Hawking.
I'm used to it. So, yeah, this is a fun week, and it's just starting a fun stretch. And, you know, again, here we are late in the season.
Good.
And, you know, for a lot of guys, the playoffs unofficially are underway because they need to get it done this week. Yep.
Sergio at 133, I think, sitting at 133.
Yeah, Sergio's trying to get in there.
He has to have a great tournament today.
Yes, top 20, I think, is what he needs.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since he's had one early this year. I mean, that's the thing. You know,
putter.
We'll put those things out, say, this guy needs a top 25 or top 20. For a lot of guys that are not – the point is, if you need that, you haven't been playing well this year.
Where's it coming
from
now?
Makes it even that much more tougher. I mean, there's a lot of guys that need really good weeks. Yeah.
This is a tough week. It's a great old tournament. It's been around for a long time. The Greater Greensboro Open, as it was once called. The Pop Top Open, as we talked about in a show earlier this week with Steve Elkington. It was his first win on the PGA Tour, I believe, 1990. Am I correct on that? But, this is a fun tournament.
Yeah.
Guys, and I know Earl knows this, Tim, you may or may not know that they have a beach set up with beach chairs and umbrellas.
Yes, they show that all the time, sure. It's really cool.
It's a cool
spot.
Right
there across the pond or something, right? Yeah, from the green.
It's a cool spot. So it's going to be a fun week, going to be a fun tournament. A lot of heartbreak is forthcoming for a lot of guys, and a lot of exuberation will occur this week, too. And I'm looking forward to listening to the PGA Tour radio team led by Earl Forsey. And I mean it.
It's not
stroking you, pal. You do a great job out there, and we love listening to you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thank you. That's why we do it each and every week, and be back in the chair very soon, and we're about to get underway. So,
Earl, compliment Paul on his weight loss. He's lost like 20 pounds, and if you don't notice, he'll cry.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, whoa. Here, Earl, here's what you have to do. Now, guys, I'm going to
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go the opposite way.
I know you are.
I know. Paul, you gained a few pounds?
Krispy Kreme Donuts was founded there, okay, in Winston-Salem. So there you go. And if Fred Albers is out there, he'll be riding in a Krispy Kreme Donut truck as opposed to a cart.
My oldest, who's a senior in high school, he has done this the last year. He's totally changed everything he eats. Like, he's a gym rat now.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
It's unbelievable. And he's actually ripped. he's actually pretty. So I notice these things now, and I'm very sensitive to. Yeah, you're looking good.
Oh,
and then,
busty.
Yeah, because
busty.
Yeah. So yeah, I know, and you know, I'm like a part time gym. When I go with him like once a week or so, or once every couple of weeks, just to kind of do it. It's better than nothing, I guess. So I know that's good for him, and
yeah.
I will.
Yeah. He's
proud
of it.
Certainly pass along the kind words from you.
Okay. All right, Earl.
And to Fred. We love Fred, not casting anything against Fred. We love Fred. He makes fun of himself, so we can too. So we love Fred.
All right. Earl, have a great weekend, okay?
Okay, we'll do. Good
have
talking
fun, buddy.
To you.
Good talking
you,
to you.
Bye. You see take you. Care. Bye. All right, Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio. Listen to him and all the boys, PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM. They'll be bringing all the action from the Wyndham Championship, which is, again, already underway. So the guys are out there on the golf course trying to make something happen. And, again, for a lot of them, it's a very, very important, critical. It's also about keeping your card, Frank. You get into the top 125, you also get fully exempt for 2019. So it's not just about the playoffs. It's about the next year, too, for a lot of these guys.
The 2018-19 wraparound season.
Yes.
So yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Right.
And, again, I have to cover myself here on some of my comments. We all know each other, and I'm talking to our listeners, not you, Tim, and we all love each other. All the PGA Tour radio team, the audio guys from Immelman to Swantech to Doug Bell to Fred Albert, all of us, and we all poke fun at each other, and that's all it is. It's just having a good time with each other and enjoying what we get to do for a living, which is a lot of fun doing PGA Tour radio. It's a blast.
Well, and your fact is that Krispy Kreme was started in that area in Greensboro, and so it's just a fact. It's just what it is.
And
so if you have to do research, you've got to go to the original store, I imagine, and find out how good they are.
Show research.
The same.
Show prep. Call Stanky. Send Stanky a text and say your show prep, Stanky. It's going to be Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme by the dozens.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So
it used to be his diet. I got to tell you that used to be
too,
his
pal.
Diet.
I mean,
was donuts and burgers and fries and milkshakes and you know.
Well,
and
he's getting
he's
in
like,
shape
okay,
though.
He's like, I'm 47. I can't keep doing it. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting ready to get out there. PGA Tour champions. He's going to make a run.
Yep.
And
good for him.
And,
good for him.
And we're gonna you and I are gonna co-loop for him at a tournament.
Yeah, well, meaning we're going to alternate every hole.
Pretty much, so we can get
through
18
hole,
holes.
Yeah, you're exhausted. Those tour bags are not lightweight, and they put everything in there. Think of if you're a Tiger's caddy, you got to put in what, 7 extra shirts, water bottles,
15 candy bars or health bars, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you're carrying about 50 pounds. There
we know some of the guys that used to slip a brick in bags. I mean, all sorts of stuff, just for meanness. Seriously.
Yeah.
So, fun stuff. It's going to be a fun week. I love this tournament. It's a Heartbreak Hill tournament is what I call it, because it just...
Yeah.
Woo. You know, you could be sitting in the clubhouse at this tournament at 125 or 124 or 123, all of a sudden, bam, you're out. And you've played your way into that position, so it's a little heartbreak coming this week. A lot of drama.
It'll be tough. We'll see. We want to make sure we mention as we say goodbye to everybody and thank everybody for listening that we're coming to you in large part thanks to Club Corp, our newest and greatest sponsor here, largest owner and operator of private clubs nationwide, over 200 clubs and city clubs, golf courses, country clubs, athletic clubs all over the country. And thank you very much for Club Corp. To know more about this, go to clubcorp.com, and you can find out all the different clubs all over the country that might be in your area. And we encourage you to look into it, because you can even check them out for a day. You don't have to join until you've checked these places out, and you'll see what a great deal it is. And as a matter of fact, Frank, what's so cool about Club Corp, because you're a member at one, you basically get privileges to play at various times at all these other facilities as well, because you're a member. So it's very...
Free,
very unique
it's free
in the way
also,
Club Corp's got
the privilege
set up.
Of free golf. You can, you're traveling. Yeah. Tim, you come over here. You can play free at a Club Corp Club here or wherever. And dinner. It's cool. It's called Member for a Day is that program, and it's really a cool program. A lot of clubs don't let you do that. Club Corp is a big family. I mean, they really are, and we're so proud to have them as a partner with us and sponsor. So
there you go.
There you go. That's it. I'm going to play
Club Corp
anyway,
brings it to you
before it rains.
Go hit a few golf balls.
I will.
Do it.
Hit them a lot. They're
teeing up at the Wyndham Championship. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us one more time right here. We do love each and every one of you. Thank you very much to Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. Again, be sure to listen to Earl and all the boys on PGA Tour Radio all weekend, bringing you the coverage from the Wyndham Championship. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again, and please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.